Luke chapter 13. We're going to read verses 6 through 9 together. Luke chapter 13, we're going to read verses 6 through 9 together responsively. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? But and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We sure do love you. Lord, thank you for our church. And Lord, it is a place to have fun, a place of comfort, but it's also a place of preaching. I pray that you would focus our minds on the truth that you have for us. Lord, would you change our hearts? Would you change our lives because of it? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Luke 13 is a parable. Now, a parable is a story that Jesus used to teach a truth. We would use the word illustration. It may or may not be a true story, but is a story that teaches a truth. Here in Luke 13, we have the story of a man who owned the Bible says a vineyard or an orchard. And he had a tree there, and it was a fig tree. That fig tree, the Bible says that he came, and after 3 years in a row, he saw this tree did not bear fruit. And he looked at the head man that took care of his property and said, that thing's worthless, cut it down. The man that cared for the property said, sir, would you give me one more year? Would you let me work it? Would you let me fertilize it? Would you let me prune it one more time? And if it bears fruit, we keep it. But if not, then we'll cut it down. I love that story. I love the fact that he wasn't willing to give up on it. You have a story here of two people that really had a heart to give somebody a chance. God has rights to your life. You have to understand something. God purchased you if you're saved. Almost every day of my life, I look to God and I say, thank you for purchasing me. I need to be a worthy investment. I don't know about you, but I never want to lose sight of the fact that I deserved hell because I was a sinner. Now, I may have gotten saved when I was a child, but guess what? I was still a sinner that deserved hell. My sins were just as bad as the drunk laying in his vomit tonight on the side of the road. You see, when he purchased me, here's the good part. I actually became, for lack of better terminology, I became part of the bride for Christ. Folks, we as believers are part of a bride. The church is the bride of Christ. Now, let me re-say this for everybody. That does not mean every believer makes up the bride of Christ in this universal church garbage. Mr. Schofield's got it wrong. It's not a universal invisible church, okay? It is, but we will not become his total bride till he takes us away to heaven at the rapture. But listen to this statement. Do you remember what it was like to be a newlywed? Those of you that are married? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you, it's way too far ago. You don't remember. Some of you are saying, boy, why, if I had to do over again, it wouldn't, never mind. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, let me ask you a question. Since we're part of the bride of Christ, what makes you think that God doesn't want a bunch of that loving going on with his people? My wife's going to kill me, but come on up here. Yeah, it's going to be just a long drive. let me show you something. Most people don't even know this, but the heart is the symbol of love. But do you know where the heart symbol came from? Most people don't know. Let me show you something. If you, yeah, well, hang on. I like this sermon. If you look at our necks, you'll see the shape of the heart from our chins here, and it's heart to heart. You ready? Did y'all see it? Let's go to this side. I want to make sure y'all see it. You ready? Here we go. All right. Did y'all see it? That's where the shape... You didn't see it? You want to see it again? Thank you. We'll pick up there later. Let's pray and go home, amen. Oh, wait a minute. The symbol of the heart is formed when a husband and a wife come together to kiss and their heart is heart to heart. And that shape right there is the symbol of love. Now, may I say this? Most problems that occur in our homes, most problems that occur in our marriage, most problems that occur in a church are a heart problem. They're heart problems. If I'm not careful, I'm going to step on a pie in here. That's why I left the plastic on top. Let me ask you a question. What shape is your heart in tonight? What shape is your heart in? In most of our homes, a lot of times, we have problems in our home because we don't express our hearts well. In our relationship between a husband and a wife, a lot of times it's because we don't express our heart well. Even amongst the fact of with your children, we don't express our heart well. I'm going to show you three different shapes your heart is in tonight. Number one, wholehearted. Just a little while ago, you saw a whole heart. Say why? That was a true picture of love. Now, it might not be later when she kills me at home, but that's okay. Yeah, buddy. Turn your Bible, Psalm 138. Psalm 138. We're going to use our Bibles just a little bit tonight. Psalm 138, we're going to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Let's turn to one other verse, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, it's just a little before where we were tonight with the scripture. But Mark chapter 12, verse number 30. The Bible says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and I've preached on that recently here. Once you notice, it says whole heart, all your heart. That means love is continually being expressed. Now, some of you, and please don't take this the wrong way, I doubt there's been a day of my children's life they haven't seen mom and dad hugging or kissing. Say why? You trying to show them something? Yeah, buddy. I want them to know I love their mama. And whether they know it or not, I don't care if they see it or not. I love her whether they see it or not. Say why? Because 24 years ago, we got married. I waited 22 years to get married, and I've been making up for it ever since. I didn't marry her to hug and kiss her for a couple of years till we had kids and the kids got old and say, okay, who are you? I hate to tell you this, but I'm more in love with her now than I was 24 years ago, and that's a heap of love. I don't get to sit with my wife anymore in church, but when I get to sit with my wife, guess what? I sat with my wife. Now, I'm not getting mad at anybody here. I'm not saying something's wrong if you do something differently than me. But I'm going to tell you what I think. I think bucket seats are of the devil. Doggone it. By the way, you watch when bucket seats came out and watch what the divorce rate did in America. It went up. Bucket seats came out in the 1960s. When did the divorce rate start skyrocketing in America? Say why? Because something came between mama and daddy. There wasn't as much closeness there. I raised three kids. Got two of them almost out of the house and one more on the way. Amen. And I'll make a statement here. When I sat in church, it was me and her, and the kids sat on the outside. I didn't put them between us. Say why? Because I didn't get to sit with my wife much, and I was going to make sure there was, and they didn't, they weren't going to come between us. And by the way, they didn't sit between us at home either. Now, if we were sitting on the couch, put one there, put one there, put one on my lap or something, but they're not going to sit between us. I didn't marry them. I married her. I didn't have them to sit close to me. I had her to sit close to me. Now, that's my own personal feelings. You're not wrong if you do it the other way, just so you know. But I will tell you this. My kids know they've got my whole heart. They know their mama's got my whole heart. And vice versa. My boys and I used to play a little game. And they'd say, they'd walk up and kiss my wife. I'd say, hey, leave my wife alone. You can't kiss my wife. Nobody kisses my wife but me. That's my mama. I said, I don't care. She's my wife. She was my wife before she was your mama. No, daddy. Oh, yeah. I said, you're going to get old one day and find some toe-headed idiot to marry you, and you're going to leave her, but I'm not. And I said, I love her more than you do. No, sir. I said, go ask her. Mommy, do you love daddy more than you love me? Yep, boy, you talk about broken-hearted boys. That was great. You say, your wife would say that? Yes, she would. Amen. By the way, that's the answer it's supposed to be. My daughter, my wife would do that with my daughter. Man, broke her heart when she found out daddy wasn't going to marry her. But I'm not. I already been married once. I'm not doing that again. Now, wait a minute. I think that you ought to sit close. By the way, I think you ought to sit close at home. Amen. Say, do you sit close to your wife at home? Yeah, buddy. It's called a love seat for a reason, amen? Amen. I love the recliner, especially when my wife's on my lap. Say, you do that almost every day of my life. Say, why? We got married 24 years ago. Why should it stop? Y'all doing okay? Amen. Say why? Because I love that lady with my whole heart. I love her with all of my heart. I don't mean this the wrong way, and I appreciate and I respect and I love every one of you ladies, but not a one of you compares to her to me. That's just the way it is. By the way, that's the way it should be. And you ought to feel that way about your wife. Let me ask you a question. Have you turned your whole heart to the things of God? I'm not afraid of being criticized, as you've noticed. I will have people criticize me because of my stands. Can I tell you why? They don't give their whole heart. I do. That's not arrogance. It's just a fact. I haven't changed in 33 years of preaching. My daddy and my mama's back there watching my daddy's head go like this. And I did not ask him for that. But I'm telling you something, I haven't changed what I believed in 33 years, actually in 46 years. Well, I'm 46, yeah, not quite 47. I went to church for 9 months before I was born, amen. Let's just face it, I haven't changed what I believe. God's book didn't change. Why should I change what I believe based on my friends, based on different pastors, based on anything? I have not changed one thing I believe about that book. It is the Word of God. By the way, that's why preachers change, because they want to change it. That's why I say God said it, not Paul said it. That's why I say God said it, not David said it. David didn't say in Psalm 138, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. God said it. God gave those words, word for word, to David. David didn't say it. God said it. Boy, that's good stuff. That means you need to give your whole heart to soul winning. Some of you want to belong to a soul winning church, but you don't want to go soul winning. Some of you are upset if something doesn't happen at the invitation, but what did you do to make it happen? I'm not being unkind. I'm just asking you the questions. Say, do you go soul winning? Yes, I do. Do you get visitors to church? Yes, I do. Do I have them every week? No, I don't. Neither do you. But I do go. Do you have somebody saved every time you go soul winning, Brother Bush? Nobody has somebody saved every time they go. Can I tell you why? Because we're carnal and we give up before we should. I think I could. Amen. I get convicted every time I hear the name Carl Laurent. Any of you knew Carl Laurent? He was a rough old Marine that got saved. In the last 20 years of his life, he dedicated to God for soul winning. And he preached, you're not right with God if you don't go soul winning 7 days a week and you don't go come back till you got one. Amen. Man, he was convicting. Let me ask you a question. Do you give God your whole heart with your church? I talked about it today. We're kind of at a little precipice here and the manna is being shut off and it's time to live off the land a little bit. Well, are you going to give your whole heart to it? Average church member lasts 7 years and is gone. Hate to tell you, I'm a little above average. I haven't got out of church yet. Say, yeah, but you're a preacher. I went to church for a long time before I was a preacher. Folks, we don't go to church because of what our responsibility is. Say, well, I would like to do something. Then do it. Are you going to give your whole heart? And boy, listen to this. This is not for me. This is for you. You going to give God your whole heart with your finances? So, yeah, but I didn't. Man, I faced troubles. God reigns on the just and the unjust. But in God's economy, I can't tell you what happens, but when you become faithful with your finances and give your whole heart to it God's way, God will bless you for it. I promise you. Are you going to give God your heart with your activities, with your Sunday school class and different things? I think that you ought to have kids involved. Yeah. I made sure my kids got to everything we could get them to. My daughter was almost upset with me that I'm leaving on vacation the day of an activity. She wanted to go to Medieval Times. I said, you can go there, but I'm going to Maine and eating lobster. She said, I'm going with you. Wait a minute. I was glad she was disappointed she's going to miss an activity. Can I tell you something? Some of you are disappointed because you got to go. Okay, moving on. I want my church to have my whole heart. I'm going to fail you many times as your pastor. I have already failed you many times, I'm sure. But I want to carry your burdens. I really do. I long for that. I long for you men to be able someday to say, that man loves me. Amen. You give me time, I'll prove it. I promise you. There's not a man in here I have not prayed for you by name every day this week. Not a man. Not a lady, not a child. I've prayed for you. I've prayed for God when you have a burden to let me help you with your burden. Say, well, you always have the answer. Nope, but I know where we can go. I long for that. I long to help your families. I long to be used to help your families. And sometimes you're not always going to understand. I understand that. There's times I'm going to throw a fit and you're going to think, well, that wasn't for me. It will be. Hang on. Some of it's preventive maintenance. Sometimes there's just things we're supposed to preach. I'm not lying. Brother Jerry, you were in my office tonight. I have a stack of sermons that tall ready to go at any moment. I have a drawer in my desk that has a stack of sermon ideas that's probably that thick. I have an entire drawer in my desk that's probably that deep, that is nothing but sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon that's already outlined, ready to go. I probably, if you stacked up the sermons ready to preach, it's probably that high. On top of the ones I'm always working on. Say, why? It's just trying to find out what you need and try to slide it in there at the right time. Do I always hit it exact? No, I'm a human being. And I may not have hit your need this week, but I promise you, in a week or two or in a month or in 6 months, you're going to need what I preached. Just hang in there. You'll need it. If you don't need it right now, you will. Just hang in there. I long for praying for you as you're sick. Brother Buck's probably going to kill me. I was going to put my vacation on delay a day because Mrs. Brinklow is going to have surgery. He's about ready to kill me. I said, I'll stay so I can be at the hospital with you. He said, we've been through this before, Brother Bush. You do that, you're going to be mad at you. But I promise you, my vacation's not as important to me as that lady back there. Being at the hospital to pray for her, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Now, I promise you, she'd skin me alive if I do. They weren't even going to tell me because they knew I was going on vacation. That wasn't fair. I found out, amen? Wait a minute. But I would. Say, oh, you need to go on. Folks, vacation to me is something I have to do, not necessarily want to do. Say, why? Because my whole heart's right here. It is. I have talked to Brother Bulkley, I don't know how many hours, about being here. He has asked every question 14 different ways. He knows who you are before he gets here. He hadn't put the face with you yet, and that's probably to his benefit. Wait a minute. I long to be here with you. I long to help you. I long to feed you. I live my whole life to try to meet your needs. I know those of you that are struggling right now financially. I know those of you that are struggling right now emotionally. I know those of you right now that are struggling in other areas of life. I know you young couples that got young kids. Look, I promise you, you'll survive. You'll make it. They may not, but you will. You know, you're not going to kill them. God made a spot on their body that can take it. Trust me. They might not sit on it as often, but they'll make it. I promise you. Say, oh, I'm just so worried. We got new ones coming into the auditorium, and we're going to have that from time to time. And I hope more and more. But let me say this. Don't be embarrassed by it. I'm not going to call you down. I had three of them. Trust me. My wife can tell you what it's like putting one in the third row of First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, with 7,000 people sitting there. And Brother Hyle say, take that one out. Okay? I'm not doing that. But she can tell you what that's like while I'm sitting on the platform thinking, okay, that's mine. If he lives to get back in the auditorium, he won't live when he gets home. Yeah, buddy, been there. Now, wait a minute. Anybody that's had children knows what that's like. You just got to buck up and be tougher than they are, amen? You stay consistent. It'll happen. Trust me. Just don't give in. I long to do the weddings. I don't long to do the funerals, but I long to be here long enough to do the funerals and let people know how much we loved you. I do. Now, I hope we don't have any anytime soon. Trust me. You know what? I'm glad Jesus gave us his whole heart. How'd you like to have a half-hearted Savior? First of all, whole heart. Next, a broken heart. A broken heart. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. I think, in my opinion, one of the saddest portions of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 41. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground, bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept one with the other until David exceeded. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, between my seed and thy seed, and forever.'" He arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Did you notice that? There's two friends that have to depart forever. The Bible says that they hugged on each other and wept until the Bible says that David wept exceedingly. And it literally says that their hearts were broken. Oh, I've been to that point. There's a scar that has been left because it's been torn or broken. I've been with people in open heart surgeries, seen the scars. They've got to cut you from here to your belly button and pop you open and cut your chest bone open and spread those ribs out and work on a person's heart and put them back together. And I've seen the scars that are left, but guess what? A broken heart can be mended. It'll leave a scar, but may I say this, praise God for successful surgery. And may I say this, spiritually, some of you have had to go through open heart surgery. Some of you sit there and say, "But look at that scar." But yes, but we look at you and say, "But we still have you. We still have you." We don't care about the scar. The scar is there to remind you, you're with us. That's the important part. You see, we praise the Lord for successful heart surgery, then why do we want to condemn ourselves because we have a scar? Folks, there's no human being in this room that's perfect. None. "Yeah, but you don't know my past." Guess what? God doesn't know it either. He doesn't care. It's in the past. And it's under the blood. Thank God for the blood. I said this a few weeks ago. I was talking to a man that has some scars in his past. And he said, "Brother Bush, you said something really important. We've got to learn to forgive ourselves." And yes, you do. I preached on forgiveness here several months ago, and forgiveness is not for the one that needs it, it's for the one giving it. God is faithful to forgive us our sins. Guess what? That's not for us, that's for Him. Some of you live with your past haunting you because you've never forgiven yourself. God already did, why can't you? Why can't you? Some of you live a haunted life because you got a scar. "I got a scar right there. I got a scar right there. I got a scar right back there from my brother who told me that if I stuck my hand under the gas-heated hot water tank and got the ball that rolled under there that it wouldn't hurt me." Liar. "I got scars all over my head. I hope to God I never go totally bald. I will look like Frankenstein with all the scars that are up there. Just ask my dad. He'll tell you." Now, wait a minute. I remember the day I got that scar. Shut up. What are you laughing about? I remember the day I got that scar. I worked at a steak restaurant. When we had a coffee cup that we had to throw away, you were supposed to break the handle off so people knew that you weren't supposed to use it again. One of the waitresses came back and threw a coffee cup in the galley trash can. I looked down and it didn't have the handle off. I said, "Is that thing broke?" She said, "Yep." I said, "You didn't tear the handle off." She said, "I forgot." I said, "I'll get it." Well, instead of taking the stupid thing and going on the side of something, I thought, I'll just like that. Corningware doesn't break real well. I took my finger and went like that, and when it let loose, it just went, and the blood went like this and shot about 4 feet. I went like this, and it's not dripping. It's a steady stream, and it's going as it goes. I looked at my boss. I said, "I need a Band-Aid." He come over. He said, "Oh, you need more than a Band-Aid." And he starts getting wobbly. I said, "Give me a napkin, something." You know, I couldn't walk into the galley and grab something because I got blood dripping everywhere. he finally, you know, it was hilarious. He wanted me to go to the hospital. I said, that'd be fine. I said, put a butterfly on the thing, pull it together. I got to preach tomorrow in chapel. Forget it. I still have a scar from that thing. It was really cool. Once I finally got the blood to slow down a little bit, you could see the knuckle moving in there. I mean, it cut it all the way. There's, you know, you don't have much meat or anything right there. And it took it all the way down to where you could see the ligament and the knuckle and stuff. It was a good one. Wait a minute. I look down every once in a while, see that, and think, that was really stupid. Why should I not forgive myself, though? I didn't do it again. I may not have been real bright, but I did learn quick, amen? Can I tell you something? Some of you need to have your heart fixed because it's broken. Maybe there's a scar. Maybe there's a disease in your heart. Maybe you need to exercise your heart more. After you have heart surgery, you got to exercise it. Say why? Because if you don't exercise it, it'll get bogged down again. You need to keep it going. Maybe you need to change your diet. Some of you are destroying your heart with the diet of sin that you're feeding it. Some of you are destroying your heart with the diet of a bad attitude. Some of you are destroying your heart with what you're feeding it. Can I tell you something? Right there's the pure word of God. It'll help your heart. By the way, the broken heart of Jesus is what paid your sin debt. He paid your sin debt with a broken heart. Jesus did not die from bleeding to death. He died of a broken heart. When the soldiers thrust the spear into his side, water and blood came out, which means his heart had actually ruptured and exploded inside his body. The Bible says when he said, "It is finished," he bowed his head, listen to this, and gave up the ghost. The devil didn't take his life. Jesus gave it. He gave it up. It wasn't taken from him. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, and I'm done. Some of you have a half heart. You're half-hearted. Turn to 1 Samuel 15. We'll go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to look at just a couple verses here. Look at verse number 20. 1 Samuel 15, verse number 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed in the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil of the sheep and oxen and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Saul obeyed half-heartedly. And I don't know how else to say this, but half-hearted obedience is disobedience. Folks, as you're training your children, I say this a lot, direction is everything. I don't mind a child making a mistake as long as their attitude's right. I've watched children obey with a bad attitude, and I'll correct my kids for their attitude before I will, whether they got it done exactly right or not. I might have a child that only gets a C on a school project, but if he had the right attitude, I don't care. I've seen him have an A and have a bad attitude, and I'll fix it. See, attitude's more important than the end result, just so you know. There is great pain when only half a heart is working. If only half your heart was working right now, you'd be in the hospital. You'd have the EMS called. You'd have a lot of confusion going on around you. You'd have doctors doing tests, and you'd have cardiologists, and you'd have all these other ologists there and doing all kinds of things. You say, why? Because a half heart causes a lot of confusion. Can I tell you why some of your kids are confused? You're only parenting with a half heart. Mama and daddy, you got to agree with the kids or get in agreement about your kids. Now, if you can't come to terms of agreement right away, then send the kid to the room or send yourselves to your room and get the agreement and then go to the kid and say, this is the way it is. There's times I didn't agree with my wife, didn't tell her till we got through the situation and say, don't ever do that again. I backed you on this one, but let's not do it that way again. There's been times she's come to me and said, I don't think we should have done it that way. I said, we did it. She said, I know. I still don't think we should have. And guess what? She was right. But our kids never knew what those things were. Some of you say that in front of your kids. You're destroying your leadership with each other in front of your kids. That's why they'll play you against each other. All of us know there's one parent that's going to be one way and one the other way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You knew how to get what you wanted from your mom or your dad. I remember the first time I tried that. I said, Dad, Mom said. He said, what did you ask her? Ooh. Man, I remember that day quite well. It left an impression. I won't tell you where. Don't pit Mom against Dad. That's not healthy. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Why are you trying to pit God against himself? Some of you want to take one part of one verse and hold God hostage over that. You said, God, if I ask, I'll receive. I asked and I didn't get. So I'm mad at you, God. Oh, that's real big boy stuff. Well, God, you said if I prayed believing, and I really believe, yeah, I believe in a lot of things too, but sometimes the answer is no. If your child came to you and said they want to eat cherry pie and chocolate cake and candy at every meal and nothing else, guess what the answer is going to be? No. Say why? It's not good for them. And every once in a while, God tells you no because it's not good for you. But because you asked, you think you have the right to tell God what he should give you. Everybody doing okay? Amen. By the way, I think, husbands, we ought to give our whole heart to our wives. Amen. Thank God I'm a man. I would not want to be a mama. I wouldn't want to be a wife. I'm glad I'm a husband. But by the way, I respect what my wife does. I respect what she's got to put up with. Fellas, when you come home from work and she's been locked up with those kids all day long, you might not feel like talking, but she needs to talk to somebody other than a child. Trust me. Give her those few minutes. Give her that time. Take her on a date away from the kids. Say why? That'll keep your marriage strong. Guess what? You all laugh when I say I got two gone and one almost. They know I'm right. I'm not real excited about losing another one this year in some ways, but the other part of me is like, whew, I'm that much closer. Just going to be her and I. Say, that sounds cruel. I didn't raise them to stay in my house their whole life. I don't want to be paying their bills when they're 28 years old. I can't feed them now, let alone then. By the way, it takes an experienced doctor to fix or repair a heart condition. And if you'll allow me to be a little bit arrogant, I think I can help you. I've been working on people's hearts for a lot of years. And I happen to know the master surgeon. His name is Jesus. I happen to know the great physician. I spend a lot of time with him. I am not a medical doctor, but I've seen a lot of medical conditions. I've helped some of you diagnose some of your problems before you ever got to the doctor. Say why? Because I've been around enough. I can hear a certain cough and say, uh-oh, that one's got asthma. I know that one. I know sometimes when it's gallbladder. I know sometimes, I definitely know what a kidney stone is. Lord have mercy. Oh, wait a minute. I've seen other things. RSV, pneumonia. Been through those things. I've been through a lot of things. Now, I don't go around promoting that, but every once in a while I'll say, you know what, you might want to check this out. Say why? Because I've been around it so many times, it's not hard to detect. I also know spiritual signs. When you don't sing in church, okay, we got a heart problem. Parents, when your kids don't want to do things at church, they'd rather do it with unchurched people, you have a heart problem. You ought to keep your kids in church with you. If they're under the roof of your house, they ought to be with you. They ought to be participating. Say, well, my whole heart's there, but theirs isn't, and I'm not wanting to force it. You'd want to force your heart to beat if it wasn't beating. Don't wait. Don't delay. Let me ask you a question. What shape's your heart in? Wholehearted? Half-hearted? Broken-hearted? What shape's your heart in with God? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I have not wanted to be complicated tonight, but I did want to bring a truth that I think is important. What's your walk with God? Is it half-hearted? Did you used to have one and you got your heart broke so you don't have it anymore? How's your relationship with your wife? How's your relationship with your kids? Hey, young person, how's your relationship with your parents?